You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome into a special edition of the Inside Carolina podcast. Rapid reaction, instant analysis, all the good stuff from North Carolina's spring game. We're sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and Congruity. I'm Tommy Ashley. That's Jason Staples, Kenan Stadium behind us. Just finished hearing the bells chime. For whom the bell tolls, Jason Staples, it tolls for you.
I'm pretty sure that was for you, Tommy.
That was definitely for me. It's been a fun day. Pardon the allergies, pardon the sneezing. We're here to bring you some rapid thoughts on what we saw today at North Carolina spring game. Jason, let's start with the quarterbacks. Everybody always wants to start with the quarterbacks. I stand by what I said a couple weeks ago. I think Connor Harrell looked better, but you're the expert here.
It's a little hard to grade in this kind of environment because you had a lot of ones versus twos in this game. So I think you have to be aware of that and grade on a curve a little bit. But the main thing that you're looking for is whether or not the quarterback plays within the system, whether he's making good decisions, putting the ball on the money with consistency. And I do think we saw that from Connor Harrell today. I agree with that aspect. There are a couple cases where guys are a little more open because he was going with, in some cases, the ones versus the two defensive backs. And I do think the younger wide receivers are a little bit ahead of the younger defensive backs, even though that defensive back class is obviously very talented. Some of those younger wide receivers are legitimate. Like, they're prospects. They're guys that they're going to play sooner than later. We'll get to that in a little bit, but the thing is, what I saw from Harrell is a guy that looked like he was comfortable within what they were asking him to do and consistently located the football in good spots and did not put the ball in danger. So to me, that's at worst an A-minus performance for him and puts him in good position to continue to compete for that job and be in position to take the first snap next fall.
Yeah, and it felt like Harrell today didn't have as many reps as Max Johnson because he had some quick strikes, and let's talk about one of those. You mentioned those wide receivers. I've been all over Jordan Shipp, and Alex Taylor is going to play a lot. Vari Green showed out here today. First on that deep ball from Connor Harrell, just a good throw. Like you said, a little bit late, but certainly a perfect throw into the bucket there. But just sort of speak to those wide receivers, and then we'll talk about Max Johnson for a second.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things that you see with those younger guys is all of them just look fantastic on the hoof.
Yep.
I mean, you look at those guys and it's like, that's what a college wide receiver should look like. A couple of them, it's like, that's what a future NFL receiver should look like. I mean, you look at some of those guys and they absolutely have the physical capacity to be early contributors. The hard part for wide receivers is when you're that level of athlete in high school, you just win by being that level of athlete. When you're in college, all of a sudden you're going against guys that are better, bigger, faster, stronger, and you start to have to win with craft. 3 weeks ago when we got to see these guys for that first, or almost 4 weeks ago when we got to see these guys for that first specific practice, that first open practice, they looked like they were freshmen. Out here today, a couple of those guys looked like they were starting to figure out how to do some things in terms of craft, and they picked some stuff up really quickly, which has to have you very optimistic about the depth of that position going into the fall, knowing that you're going to get a couple of veterans back that are going to play a lot as well. So that's a huge, huge development. I think one of the most positive developments, if I'm going good, bad, and ugly, the good is the play of the quarterbacks, and Harrell in particular, and the wide receivers who just absolutely looked excellent for young guys at this stage.
Yeah, and they struggled a little bit getting separation early. When you're going against Elijah Huzzy, Tyrann Stewart, the junior college transfer, they struggled a little bit with that separation. But even when they didn't get separation, I mean, we saw Alex Taylor over on the sidelines over there. Ball was ultimately ruled out of bounds, but just a great hands catch, trying to toe the sidelines with coverage draped all over him. I agree with you. I think, and I've said this before and I'll say it again, the guys that have missed reps, whether it's Pacer, whether it's Gavin Blackwell, whether it's J.J. Jones, these guys are coming for their jobs. They are 100% coming to get playing time this year. We've heard for years that Lonnie Galloway and the offense want to play multiple wide receivers. I think Shipp, Taylor, and Vari Green here today certainly have made their case to be able to play this fall, starting with Minnesota. But we'll see. It's a long ways to go. You got a whole summer. You've got a off-season workouts. You got preseason camp, and all that ahead of that first game. Max Johnson. I think Johnson, everybody's presumed him to be the starter, and maybe we all have at some point, but I thought that he did some good things today. He did some things that, you know, opened my eyes a little bit. But again, a system quarterback, he doesn't have to be super special. He just has to do what he's supposed to do, and I thought he did that for the most part.
Yeah, I thought so. There were a couple times where I think he maybe misidentified a blitz and should have gotten the ball out a little earlier. There were a couple times where, you know, you could quibble with the ball location. He missed one ball up the sideline that absolutely should have been a touchdown. It's one where you just have to make that throw. You have to hit it. Missed one. I know he'd love to have back on that. But on the flip side, he made some plays both inside and outside the pocket, located, made some really tough window throws, which is exactly what you want to see from him. And then the touchdown to Billups was a really nice play where he had it, got a scramble going off to his left, initially was looking to kind of run, saw a guy pop open, put the ball on Billups for a score up the sideline. And again, that's the kind of thing that you want to see from him at this stage. You don't expect him to be quite as far along as the guy who's been here in this system a year.
Great point.
But he, again, he's made some huge strides over the course of the spring and is in position to give you a quality option who can take snap one in the fall. The good thing is that you now have, I think, two quarterbacks that you feel like you can win with come fall, and you might need both of them. I mean, these are very long seasons now in college football, and obviously they're hoping to be playing deep. So you might need both of them, and as of today, you leave this scrimmage feeling pretty good about both guys.
Absolutely. That was a great point about Max Johnson. He got here in January, so he's had, 4 months with these guys and in this system. So he's coming along well. We did see Michael Merdinger play some. That kid could be good one day. I mean, he made some good throws, but he's still very young. If he has to play, that means Harrell or Johnson went down. But to your point, you've got 12 regular season games, 13 if you're in the postseason, 14, 15, or more if you're in some sort of playoffs. So those guys are going to be needed to stay healthy. And it is never a bad thing to have quality at the quarterback position beyond one. And I think Carolina, whichever one that is, come Minnesota game, they've got that option. Running backs, didn't see much of Amarion Hampton, played a little bit in the third part. I don't remember him out there in the tackle part. Maybe
he only played one series in the thud, and then they put him in bubble wrap, which is exactly what they need to do. You don't need to see what that guy can do at this point.
Absolutely not. And Jason, I had a hot take up there, and I want to get your take, and you can sort of discuss what you saw. This Carolina running back room, with the addition of Darwin Barlow and Amarion Hampton, could be one of the best, if not the best, in the conference, I think.
Yeah, it was. You said the best running back room in the conference, and I kind of looked at you like, that's a big statement. But then I got thinking about it, and I do think you got the number one running back in the conference in Hampton. It's hard to argue against him at this point.
Right.
So then you go to Darwin Barlow, and you go, actually, you might be right. They might have the best running back room in the conference. If they don't, I don't think there's any way that this running back room with those two guys and then a couple of the guys they've got as depth is anywhere worse than three. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you're really wanting to get nitpicky, the question is, who's your number three back? I mean, is Caleb Hood ever going to be healthy enough to do that? Do you need to go out and get another guy to be additional depth there? There are a few other programs that have a more reliable and better three and four option, but at least one and two, if you're looking at those two guys, I think these two can line up and are probably better than anybody else's one, two. And again, I don't think they're any worse than three there. Barlow looked really good today. And
that guy, I mean, people say he did not play at Southern Cal. He did not play at Southern Cal because he had two studs in front of him. He comes to Carolina, he's going to play. Mm-hmm. Health stays healthy. Even if Amarion Hampton stays healthy and has a great season, Darwin Barlow is going to get some snaps.
Yeah, the thing to see with him is that he gives you another guy with the kind of burst and tackle-breaking ability that you have from Hampton. I don't think he has the quite as much long speed, although what we saw today from him in terms of wheels,
he can get away from you if you're not careful.
Yeah, he got the corner a couple times where it was like, oh, he runs like that. So when you see that and you know that can be your number two guy to, or your 1A with Hampton, that allows you to keep Hampton at a carry level that keeps him fresh into the, you know, fourth quarter of the season, into that final month, into November. And again, you're hoping to play beyond that.
Yep.
That allows you to do that by giving Barlow, I think Barlow's, you know, 150 type carry guy next year, which allows you again to be that much more efficient with each of those guys. So I was really impressed by him today.
Yeah. So Carolina, Major Bird's Carolina's third running back at the moment. Caleb Hood hurt. I thought Major Bird has shown flashes of having the ability. Carolina's certainly. The portal is here. Portal world is here, so you never know what they bring in there. But Caleb Hood, availability, he struggled with that at times here at North Carolina.
It's the most important ability.
Yeah, I'll never forget it. At least he's available. Well, Caleb Hood not available today, so we'll see how that progresses going in. Offensive line, Jason, this is a line that you are on record saying you think this line can be better than they were last year. They certainly have some talent, and they've got some size.
Yeah, when that one offensive line got a chance to go against the twos, it got ugly. We haven't seen anything look like that in terms of ease of just running downhill in this stadium in a good while. I mean,
right.
I think the last time we saw Carolina running backs with that much room to run was down in Coral Gables back in Miami with Javonte. Actually, that's right. They don't have a stadium in Coral Gables. That was up almost to Fort Lauderdale. They have to drive all the way off campus. I forgot about that. You're right. But so they were at Hard Rock the last time we saw running backs at that kind of space with Javonte and Michael Carter running wild. Now, that's against your two defensive line, but early on when you saw them against the ones as well, they handled the ones,
yep,
and they were able to get guys moving. And mm-hmm. We'll get to this part later on in the show in terms of some concerns.
That's the flip,
you know. But if you're looking at the offensive side, you have to feel really good about where they are on the offensive line. And they're adding two more guys that are going to be a part of the depth mix coming in the fall. I think one of those guys is going to be a starter. You take that and mix it with what they had today, I think this is the best offensive line that they'll have had in several years.
Yeah, and if they're going to try to run the ball more than they have in the past. They had success last year with what they had. If You still got Hampton, you've got Barlow, you get this offensive line going, and of course, you know, if you can just turn around and hand it to a guy for 7-8 yards a carry, makes the game of football pretty, yeah. Why do anything else if you can just turn around and give it to somebody? You don't have to throw it deep.
Samson, by the way, had a few of those oh shoot kind of blocks today.
Howard Sampson introduced Daniel Anderson, who is going to be a good player one day, to the college football level today, several times. Woo. And he got to greet Howard Sampson's chest plate with his back on the turf.
Yeah.
So it was
He wasn't the only one that Sampson got today. Sampson, a few guys that went up against Sampson got a few times today.
And certainly.
He definitely, I think of all the guys that they got out of the portal, he might be right now the most important and the best at this stage. And that includes Max Johnson, that includes Barlow. Those are guys that are playing well. Yep. Barlow, I mean, my goodness. But Sampson really looked the part today.
Yeah, because it always starts in the trenches. So let's talk about the other trench. And this is an area that we've harped on for years on Inside Carolina.
Do we have to talk about
these pies? We got to talk about the defensive line. I tell you, we'll start with the good on the defensive line. Carolina's outside, the edge, even with Kamen Rucker not participating today, they've got some talent out there. Daniel Anderson's one of those guys.
Yep.
But they've got the ability to get to the quarterback from the edge position. Talk about that for now.
Yeah, I mean, I thought the guys that you know who they are played like they should play in terms of, you know, your veterans. You already know what you're going to get from Evans.
Yeah.
He didn't play a ton today.
Right.
When he got out there, he had his way with the two offensive tackles, which is what you hope you see from your one defensive end.
Yeah.
Same thing with Bo. You got the same. He early on wrecked shop a little bit when against the two offensive tackles. He got an early sack, a couple in the backfield type plays. He also didn't play as much in this game. Again, I think they, with some of the guys that they know what they were, they pulled
Absolutely.
Some of those guys out. I mean, Huzzy played like a series?
A little bit more, but not a ton.
Yeah, so some of these guys, they didn't play quite as much. So, you grade on a curve for that. And for those guys, you feel comfortable. I thought 40 played well
mm-hmm.
on the whole. There were a couple times he got washed, going upfield a little bit too much. They had a lot of success with one particular run concept today that I think is going to be their kind of bread and butter next year, that took advantage of some of that. But I think all in all, the edge play was pretty good, especially knowing that you've got an all-ACC edge that just sat.
Right.
The rest of it, well.
The interior defensive line, folks, is what Jason's referring to, and there were times that they did not get push against the one offensive line or against the two offensive line. And I think when you're trying to measure out spring games, the ones versus ones, you kind of want to see some of that because that means your offensive line's doing well. But you don't want to see that against the twos, and I thought there was some of that today. They've simply got to get better on the interior.
Frankly, my view of this is that they need two defensive tackles in the transfer portal to really have the kind of quality depth and the kind of playmakers that they need to have on the interior. Problem is, those guys are expensive, and those guys are, you know, there's a lot of programs right now that want interior defensive linemen.
Right.
LSU, they've got a big budget. You know, I think Alabama's in the market. Florida State's in the market. There's a bunch of these teams. Texas right now wants two defensive tackles in the transfer portal market. They've got almost unlimited pockets. So to get a really good one is hard to do. You really have to win those guys over. And I think they need at least two, I think they need at least one, but I would want two guys that I feel can come in and play at a starter level at the defensive tackle spot. Because what we saw today, again, like you said, it's one thing when ones versus ones, it was kind of a stalemate. And, you know, the defense, the interior defensive line didn't really do a ton. And by the way, Ritzy didn't play as much in this.
He
was the guy of the front that played the least, I think, of the guys that are going to play.
and he's the guy maybe you expect the most in terms of splash plays from next year from that position. But what was discouraging to me, like you said, when you see your one defensive line out there against your two offensive line, you want to see those guys eat. And the two offensive line was able to run the football against the one defensive line. That's an enormous red flag to me. I don't want to see my two offensive line winning at the point of attack and creating space so that my running backs are getting to the second level against my one defensive line. Not something I'm a fan of. That's the biggest concern coming out of this game. That's what they're going to have to work on coming through the offseason. It's just, you know, can they put in the work? Can they get an extra player or two to add to that depth and add another couple quality bodies? I think they've got some guys that can be fine, and they can be good in the inside, especially if they get those additions. But I need to see more than I did today there.
Yeah, and of course, we always talk about Travis Shaw, Kevin Hester, those guys. They just got to step up. I mean, somebody there in that room has got to step up. And then, to your point, they need to pick up another body or two. And they need to pick up a body that can produce. Because, quite frankly, they've got the edge. They've got the linebackers. We didn't see much Power Echols today, of course. Amari Campbell's going to be a good one, and some of the freshmen. They've got the corners now. And they appear to have the safeties. We can talk about the corners. I mentioned them earlier. Tyrone Stewart and Elijah Huzzy.
There was no space against those guys.
They're going to be tough to deal with. Safety position, Will Hardy had a pick six. He's still in a yellow jersey. Jakeen Harris was in a yellow jersey. You got Stick Lane, who's not afraid to hit somebody. Just overall, what'd you think of the back six or the back five?
So, again, I think really the strength of the defense right now is at edge and there.
Yep.
Which is great if you can hold up on the interior at all. All of a sudden, if you can get teams to passing downs against this team can be really good defensively.
Yep.
The question for me coming into next year is, can this team get teams to passing downs? Can they win first down against the running game? There are going to be a few games that they're going to play, and right up front, Minnesota, what they're going to try to do is bully you at the point of attack and run the football against you with a big offensive line. The question is this bunch going to be able to handle that? Win first down enough to force teams into longer yardage, force teams into throwing the football when they don't necessarily want to on play action. And I think this defense can be really good because of the talent, again, I think at corner. And remember, one of your starters isn't even out there right now.
Yep.
So, I mean, you're still going to get Marcus Allen back. Then you're going to have a rotation of three or four corners that you feel really good about, a couple guys that are all ACC-type caliber. Caleb Cost is going to come back, and he should be the most likely starter at the nickel spot. So you feel really good there. Backer should be fine. It's all about getting those defensive tackle spots to where those guys are holding up and are not giving up space in the running game. If you can win there, this is a top, you know, third of the ACC defense. Yeah. If they can't do that, well, it's not a top third in the ACC defense. It's the most important places that you've got to be good to have a quality defense, and they've still got a ways to go.
Yeah, it's kind of like we said on the offensive side. If you can just turn around and hand it off and get 7 or 8 yards, why do it? Why do anything else? That's going to be the dilemma for this defense. The one thing about it, folks, is Jeff Collins promises aggressiveness. We saw some major aggressiveness with multiple angles on blitzes, we'll call it that way.
Yeah, and they played pretty vanilla for the most part, and that's when they gave up those runs and got gashed a little bit. And you could kind of see it at different points where you could kind of see Collins' personality coming out, like, okay, we're going to stop that.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, the line of scrimmage got crowded, guys came from different spots, and they got tackles for loss, and they got the offense off the field. So, the defense did get some stops in those situations, and largely because they were able to get some plays in the backfield. 17, he had a big play off of a blitz. You had Stick Lane had a big play in the backfield at one point on a blitz. You had a few others in addition to Campbell and Lane that made plays because and on the correct side of the line of scrimmage because they're playing very aggressively in that respect. And I think, again, after what you saw here from the back end and what we saw in the open practices already, I think Collins is going into the offseason feeling like he can be more aggressive in terms of what he brings in terms of run blitzes and pressures and all of that, and play more one-on-one stuff than most coaches can. I think he feels comfortable. I would feel comfortable applying a lot of pressure knowing what I have in my back six,
Absolutely.
Back seven.
Absolutely. I mean, we talked about Shipp and Taylor and Vari Green. They didn't do anything against Huzzy or Tyron Stewart, and you mentioned Marcus Allen will be back. So Carolina's got some abilities there. It's going to be all about the interior. It's going to be all about the quarterback position maybe for the offense. Overall, we did not see any punting today. I know a lot of people are on the punting train after last week, but no punting today. There were some field goals missed. I think both kickers made and missed some field goals. Jason, any last thoughts before we get out of here?
No, still a line of scrimmage game. I think Carolina fans should feel pretty comfortable about one side of the ball in terms of line of scrimmage, especially with the guys that are coming in. I think the offensive line is going to be top half of the ACC in terms of quality, and it's got a chance to be maybe even a little bit higher than that midpoint. And I think they're going to be able to run the football. I think they're going to be able to lean on people. Defensive line, you feel really good about those edges. And you feel like you've got players who can make that leap on the inside, and there were signs at different points. There's little hints here and there. There was a one play where Travis Shaw put a veteran offensive guard on his back, and you go, okay, well, there that is.
Yep.
All right, love to see more of that, but that's exactly it. I'd love to see more of it, and that's the, to me, it's a line of scrimmage game. Can they get the defensive tackles to raise their level? If they can do that, this is going to be a really good football team.
Indeed. Carolina opens up at Minnesota. Spring ball is over. It never stops at Inside Carolina because there is no offseason.
It's portal season now.
It's portal season. A lot going on. The bell's tolled.
That's for you, Tommy.
For this podcast. Shout out to Johnny T-Shirt. Shout out Congruity for sponsoring these shows. It's always been fun. Jason and I love doing this stuff. I'm sure we'll talk plenty more in the future. Everybody stay safe.
From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount+.
Yes!